make some progress. You'll have to remind me, I think we got to Gimel of the Yud Gimeli Korim, yeah? How it manifests out of Shabbos. The first one is that it's all Hashem. There's nothing else other than Hashem, which comes out of Chiddush Olam. That's the Toitzah of the fact that this Chiddush Olam, which we get from Shabbos, is that there's nothing other than the Rotzon Hashem. That's a natural outcropping of that understanding. And then we touched on sugya, difficult sugya, the sugya of Yichud Hashem. That is Yochid, V'ein Yichidus Kamoise B'Shum Ponim, V'hu Levado Elokeinu, V'hu Hoyev V'hoye. Okay, that's... So, okay, Tov, we said what we said there. Let's go into Gimel. Gimel is... Base is also based on the sort of chiddush that's poshut. Okay, and imamin ben shleim shabois baruch shmoy who ainu guf. He has no guf, which is already you're running into trouble because we have no idea what something looks like without what's called a guf. V'lo yisigu misiga haguf, and he has no understanding, no shaychus to even whatever that v'ainu shum dimyon klal. There's no dimyon. There's nothing you can use as a benchmark. There's nothing you can use as a point of reference to try and understand what this is. Because a muchrach, he says on Reish Gimel, mi oise inyan sheit be'ar koidim that I explained earlier. Shekol mahus aguf hu hagdora v'hagbola. The guf comes from the world of matter. It is limited by definition. The guf always has a defined and limited environment. There's no difference if it's when we say guf, we think automatically of a human guf. It makes a difference if this guf has eyes and ears, or guf elyoin lamale mikol tfisa, or whether it's a guf elyoin. This guf that we're talking about could be a very high, massive goof from the higher world. Aval etzem uchus goof hainu kli lemachzik ulebat oit toichen pnimi. A goof is something that holds, contains, and expresses something internal. There's something internal that the goof contains and expresses. You use us for a marshal. What is the guf? The guf holds, maintains, has within it a pnimi world, a neshama world, and it reflects that neshama into the world. The entire essence of a guf, of a kli, because that's what a guf is, it's a kli, is to be magdir, is to define. Magdir from Loshen Geder, from Loshen Fence, it defines and limits. Hashem's existence, if you're allowed to use that word, is one simple existence without any limitations or definition at all, which obviously we can't grasp. You understand, you can't grasp that. There's no way to medamen it. There's no way to think about it. There's no way to imagine it. There's nothing to compare it to. There's no points of reference whatsoever. Shedimenu hagdora sinyan. Dimyon is once again a hagdora of a subject. Vuyis barach lamalim mikol hagdora. He's above any kind of hagdora. Ain't no guf. He hasn't got a guf. Once you don't have a guf, then there's no hagdora. Everything in the world has to have some kind of a guf. It has to have tsura and choyme. It has to be made up of some kind of matter and some kind of a shape, some kind of a form. That form, that tsura, that guf, is going to limit it to that surah, not another surah. So everything in the finite world, in our world, however elevated it is, we're talking about the malachim, we're talking about the spiritual beings, whatever, they have some hagdara, some limitation. When we say they have a guf, we don't mean a boss of a dom guf, but they have some hagdara, some limitation, some defining feature. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is above all of that. It's not shaykh to him, bichlal. Not that he's just very, 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 very super duper duper big. No, there is no dimyun klal. There's nothing to talk about. So we have three things. First of all, everything he created yesh me'ayin, that's chidush olam, and therefore he does everything. The second one is, what the chidusha is, but it's his yochud, and there's no yichidus like his b'shem oifen. He is alone. Our God was, is, and will be. And the third one is that there's no dimyan. There's no way to grasp this in any with any points of reference from our reality. Dalit. An imam in b'min ushleim shvoyis b'ch shmoi hu rishon v'hu acharon. He's first and he's last. So what does that mean? Again, it's muchrach from chidush. From the koyach of chidush, this has to be muchrach. Kivan shekol dover muchudash mimen yisburach. Everything in the world comes from him. He created it. Yesh miayin. Nimtzal kochus shemechad shoy hakdimoy. Vezeh poshut. That the thing that's being mechadish comes before the thing that got mechadished, right? You have to have a mechadish before you can have a chidush. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, yesh miayin, it must be he was there before the world was created. That's poshut. V'u'adin shu acharon. What about acharon? We don't have a reference to that. Then he was rishon fishtaist because he created me, so then he was before me. He can't come after me, but he created me. That's we understand. That's poshut. But what's acharon? Shekola metzias nimtzas mikoich yisburach. The whole world exists as a result of Hashem's koyach, which taste. V'im kein memeile, she'im hu lo yeye hare yafsik laham tzi oysam v'haynu betulim. So therefore, obviously, automatically, if he wasn't, then he would stop creating and then everything would just be bottled. V'al kasher haim lo yeye b'metzias, yishar rak hu yochid. If he stops creating us, we cease to exist. But he continues to exist. He's never bottled. Since everything that is in the world, he brought into the world, so he can stop bringing it into the world. But he continues to exist even after everything ceases to exist. Yishar raku yochid, kumo shekosav haramba, bereish hilchus seder Torah. V'im yala al hadas, shu einu motzoi, ein shu metzias yoichel amtzois. The Rambam says, if it would enter into your mind, you would have a fleeting thought that he isn't motzui, that he isn't here, that he isn't in existence. Ain't shum metzias yochel amtzois, and nothing else could exist either. The Rambam is telling you, if there isn't him, then there isn't anything. Yes, there has to be a motzui rishon. Nimtzal kochos, she'ein shum echad acharov. Therefore, it's obvious there's nothing after him. There can't be anything. Let's just for the purpose of illustration, if he would cease to exist, let's say Khalil, nothing else could continue to exist after him. Because how's it going to exist? It only exists because he exists. So if he didn't exist, nothing else could exist either. So how are you gonna have an existence after his existence? So it must be his acharon. Yeah, simple logic, beside it. But there's a deeper nakuda here. Shemikoich hachidish yoytze gam kein hayesod hagodol shizborach kadmoin bli tchila. This is the one that irritates us a little bit when we think about it. So we don't think about it because you really can't think about it, but we can think about it. And that is as a result of this understanding of koich chidish, it comes out a very important yesod. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kadmoin bli tchila. It's not that he is first and then he creates us and when we cease to exist, he continues to exist. Fine. But when did he start? What's his beginning? When did he start? So what comes out of this here is that he doesn't have his beginning. The rekol metzias mechudeshes b'mochusa hanachoyna he wrote Salam Achadish with Dibroi's culture. Nimtze she ha-metzias ha-mitis, ha-yechidis, he rak ha-metzias she lo hitchatsha ele tomid hoisa. Okay, that's a mouthful. Let's try and unravel this.
It's like to understand, without time, we don't understand. That means we have a beginning and end, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have no time. That means we cannot understand this one.
Correct. 100%. But we're not trying to understand what that means. We're trying to show that it has to be that way. We're in the world of Yud Gimel Ikarim. We have to have this imuna that this is so. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to show why it has to be that way. You know, Chinami, we can't understand. Now that it is, we can't understand what that is. We can't grasp the infinite, for sure. But we have to understand why it has to be that way. That's the imuna. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rishon V'Acharon, of course, that we don't have a problem with. No one has a problem with. So no one who believes in Chiddush HaOlam, in Bria's HaOlam, in Boira HaOlam, believes the first Pasuk in Chumash has a problem with that Hashem is Rishon V'Acharon.
Yeah,
for sure.
In fact, no question. It's impossible to have this question because there's no time.
Correct. But you have a chiyuv to have imuna in these things. So therefore, you have to mechazak the imuna, especially when the world screams the opposite. Especially when the world is telling you different things, and the hashkof out there is not like this. So we need to mechazak our imuna in these things, knowing that we can't understand them for sure. Same as bechira, for example. You can't really understand bechira. Because I can prove to you that you don't have Bechira. Logically, and I'll take you to laboratory, I'll prove to you don't have Bechira. But you know you have Bechira. So what do you have to do? You have to mechazak the fact that you have Bechira. Chavis HaLavavos already talks about how you have to mechazak the fact that you have Bechira, because the Yetzer is trying to show you all the time that you don't. You're a robot. Whatever you do doesn't matter. So you have to mechazak the imune in this area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always was without any Aschola, because the Greeks said the exact opposite. And then we're influenced by that. We're not big philosophers sitting in universities having these debates and these issues and these problems. But it's important to know when we work through the Yud Gimel Ikarim, what exactly is behind them and what exactly is it's important to mechazak these things. But you're right, we can't understand. We're not trying to understand. We're trying to get an imuna in something that you can't understand. That's the point. If you could understand it, you wouldn't need imuna. You don't need imuna that you're talking to me now, because you know you are. You need imuna when you don't know. That's they are not good at all. Okay. When we speak, but you're right, when we speak about kodmoin, before, after, that's only in our terms. But Hashem, there isn't before and after. There's now, and now contains everything. Get your brain around that one. But Hashem, there isn't even now. There's just, there is. Efshal ledaber al zeh. But you're right. When we speak about before and after, and Hashem knows something's going to happen before it happens, that's in our language. In His world, that's shtiyot gomo. There's no before and after in His world. Everything is just now, which is also beyond our comprehension. Okay, let's try and unravel this. Darei kol metzias mechudeshes b'mohusa hanachoina hirotzen hamachadesh v'dibros kotre. The entire world that we see that was created Yesh Me'ayin, if you understand it correctly, what its essence is the Rotson of that force that created Yesh Me'ayin with its word. Hashem created the world Yesh Me'ayin with His word. So what is this whole world? Is the Rotson of Hashem expressed in that word that He created the world in? When Him should say Metzias Hamitis Hayichidis Hiraka Metzias Shelo Hitchedeshes Eletomid Hayisa. Comes out of that the real Metzias, what the Rambam was talking about, the Motzur Rishon, okay, is that which wasn't Mitchadeshet. There's two things. There's something which was created, and there's something that wasn't created. Because if that was created, then it's also just part of the created world. Then what created it? There always has to be a Koyach Rishon that wasn't created. Because you always have to have something that created that. So whoever that is, whatever you want to call that, you always have to get back to first base. First base has to be, by definition, that which always was. Because if it wasn't always was, then it came into being. How did it come into being? Well, then you're back to being part of the Bria. Okay, how far up in the system you are, but you're still just an employee, not an employer. You're not the boss. You're not the creator. The creator always had to have been, because otherwise he would have just been created. Clear? Okay. Because then he's not him, he's the Rotson of that which created him. So then he's not the Rotson of Machadish, he's the thing that was Machadish. אם כאן הקופונים צריך שתהיה מציאוס אחס אמיתיס מצד עצמו. Therefore, it has to be that there's a reality, one reality, that is amitis mitzad atzma, that, I don't have the words. Dim lo kein ein klum, because if not, there's nothing. If there isn't a motzer rishon, if there isn't, and that's what the Rambam was telling you. Vim yala adas, shehu einu motzer, ein shum metzias yoichel amtzois, then nothing could exist, there'll just be nothing. And even that there wouldn't be, because nothing is also just the expression of something. There would be something that's not even nothing. It's nothing, but nothing. Ein klum. V'akoch sheyesh motzer rishon shu kadmoin shelo hitchadesh moilam ele tamid haya. If there's something in the world, let's just summarize this. If there's, okay, let's just finish this. V'im tamid haya al kochach shemuchrach hametzias. There's another step you have to take here. If he always was, right? He always was. Then his existence is essential. It's imperative. Shekol shenimtza b'mikra al kochach shizman shebo leklal hametzias. If something exists b'mikra, it must have been a time where it came into reality. Because if not, where did it come from? Hashem's not he always existed just because he always existed. No, it's bechefze. That is the definition of existence. And he always was and always will be. Now, once again, the brain goes mushy. We can't bidyuk deal with this. We can't exactly deal with this. Rav Brudny was asked this question recently at a Torah Masorah Congress. How do you answer that question to kids? Kids ask this question: who made Hashem? You know, you've asked this question and you've done the exercise. You've gone to the point where you just get irritated and your brain goes mush. Yeah, we've all done this. The kids have asked us this. Yeah, but who made Hashem? Yeah, and you can't tell them what we just learned now because I'm lo lecholos again. So how do you answer it? So he said something very fascinating. It's not just for kids; it's for us as well. Is Hashem never told us? Hashem never explained this sugya to us about how it is that he could always be. We're fascinated. We're curious. We'd like to know what is this thing that, what do you mean? How did it always, ech? Hashem never told us. He never taught us. We don't have the sugya where this sugya, however complicated, difficult it is, and only maybe a few chachomim can understand it. No one can understand it. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, no one. As ech. Hashem never taught it to us because obviously it's not good for us to know. That's what he said. It's not good for us to know. Not that you don't need to know. Maybe one day he'll explain it to us. Maybe one day we will understand it. Well, down here, he never explained it to us because obviously it's not good for us to know. That's how you answer the question. Nifla v'noira. Whether that's going to satisfy some intelligent 8-year-old or whatever, I don't know. He's going to come back with a year, but I don't know. It removes a lot of the anxiety and the irritation about the question when you're thinking about it. There's an answer. What is the answer? Hashem never told us, so therefore we don't need to know, and it's not good for us to know. Moiridik. Okay. Tov, we're talking about the infinite, and it's very hard. That's why these are hard sugyas. But the bottom line is we're trying to mechazek haimuna, and to use our seichel to mechazek the imuna, because that's the way we mechazek haimuna, is to work through the processes and just come to logical conclusions about the fact that he's Rishon V'Achron, because that's how we mechazek haimuna. Okay. But again, it's not just b'mikra. It's not just like that's what happened. It's the essential essence of this thing has to be Rishon V'Achron. It's not just like, well, that's what happened. It could have been something else, but it happened to be this. No, it's imperative. Okay. We're on Hay. And imamim bin Shlomo Shabbos Baruch Shmoy hu levodoi roi litpalel v'ein roi litpalel luzu losay. So this is the last of the first five. The first five of the Yud Gimel Ikarim deal with Hashem. I mean, they all do, but directly with Hashem and his essence and who he is. The others start with Nevuah, because that's how we connect to this reality. Let's see. This is the last of the five that relate to Hashem. That Hashem is the only existence that you should daven to, and it's not fitting to daven to anything else. Okay? So now, it's not just about Hashem's essence. It seems this is about my relationship with Hashem. First of all, why do I have to daven? You said anything about davening. You told me there's this infinite creature, whatever. So, and they told me, yeah, but you only daven to him, you don't daven to anywhere else. Who told me I have to daven in the first place? So let's see what's going on here. Kiven shekol malach v'kol koichov metziyu sehi ma she'aboyre mamtziyoi b'kol rega. Every malach, every star, every existence that we see, its existence is only because Hashem is bringing it into existence every second, every moment. Eze erech yesh lo eisa malach hanoisen lecha panose or refuah im tzarichu es boire le'etzem usa kol rega. What value does that being, no matter how high up he is on the hierarchy, no matter how spiritual, no matter how infinite, how great, how powerful he is, to give you panos and refuah, how powerful can he be if he needs Hashem for his mere existence? Without Hashem willing him to existence, he has no existence. So how important can he be in your eyes when the same as you? You also just, yeah, because he's willing you into existence, and Hashem's willing this malach into existence. So what kind of power does he have if he's dependent on something else for his existence? If a person, Lamashal, he's paralyzed, he can't move. So he has a nurse, a friend who moves his hand or his leg, whatever, whenever he needs to. He comes to this paraplegic to ask him to do him a favor. He's a shaita. He's got no koyach. He can't do anything. When his friend moves his hand moves. So why are you asking him to do you a favor? First talk to the friend who's moving the hand. Why are you going to the paraplegic? Go to the nurse. So too in the nimshul. Given shekulam tzrichin laboyre la'atzmam metziyosom. Everybody, everything in the Bria needs a Kodesh Baruch Hu for their existence. There's nothing that has existence without the Boira Olam. L'kol shekhen, l'kol ma'aseim. And kol shekhen, they can't move or do anything without the Boira Olam. As nin sekula be'emes, pagorim, meisim. Everything is essentially dead. They have no one has any intrinsic existence. V'yis barach ha'neshoma l'kula. Hashem is the neshoma of everything. Why are you speaking to the stick? There's a man walking with a stick and you need a favor. So you speak to the stick, you ask the man for a favor. So too, why would you ask? Now, once again, we Hashem created us in a world where we do need people, we do use people, but the Chobos HaLevavos, we learned that together, Eli. It's a very hard sugya to know where to put your Hakaras HaTov. When someone does you a favor, for sure, you have to have a Hakaras HaTov because he did you a favor, but he didn't do you a favor. He didn't do anything for you. He doesn't exist even without Hashem. So your Hakaras HaTov is ultimately to Hashem who gave this person the. So exactly, we struggled with that a little bit. It's not so posh. The bigger people than you and me have struggled with exactly how do you deal with the Hakaras HaTov to you. You have to have a Hakaras HaTov with the machshava that he had for the desire to help you, but helping you, he really didn't help you. Hashem helped you. Somebody hurts you, but you can take the base in. Difficult sugars to know how to deal with this halacha lemaisa. Well, the bottom line is this guy can't help you. He only moves his hand because Hashem is moving his hand. So I'll ask him for help. Ask Hashem for help. Okay. Once again, we're in the world of imuna. We're not in the world of ishtadlis. In the world of ishtadlis, we'll see that. Okay. But we're in the yud gimeli karim of imuna now. We don't have to let ishtadlis interfere with us. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is. Now that you know who this Hashem is, and now that you know what his relationship to the world is, and you know what the relationship of the world to him is, and you understand how the world was mechadish, yesh mi'ayin, you understand that there's nothing in the world except him. Nothing moves, nothing zazes, nothing. It's all because of him. So why are you asking this other guy? Why are you davening to this other force in the world? this other force in the world is dependent on him for his existence the same as you are. So he can't help you any more than you can help yourself. Talk to Hashem. Hashem will help you. Why would Hashem help him to help you? Go straight to Hashem to daven. Go, don't speak to anybody else. You don't need intermediaries, because the intermediary is as limited as you are. He might be very, very big. He might be way, way, way more elevated and transcendent and spiritual than you. But at the same time, man, he's just limited. It was Menashe's Chiddush when he said to Hashem, if you answer me, then you're Hashem. And if not, you're like all the Avodah Zarahs. What was he saying? He was saying, if you can't help me, it means there's some limitation in your rachamim or whatever. So then you're like the Avodah Zarah, because he's also limited, and then you're also limited. He wasn't being chutzpahdik. he was explaining this yasod. Why was he worshipping Avodah Zarah? His whole life? Oh, that's the Sugya Menashe. We're not dealing with that now. Okay. Fine. Clear. Difficult stuff, this. That's why there's been so many books written on this subject. There's a whole perek of Gemara and Rambams and Rishonim and Achreinim, Adasof, just on these Ikarim, the Mamash Nifla. Okay, let's step into another world that we probably won't know what. I'm going to stop here. The next one is the first of the ones that start dealing with Nevuah. And it's long and it's complicated. And we have 2 minutes left and I'm not going to start. This is Yesod Godel here. Yesod Godel. And he's also going to quote from something he wrote in Shaarim B'Tfilah. So we'll get a taste of Shaarim B'Tfilah. He'll tell me if it resonates and maybe we'll do that, what we'll do after we finish this. So we haven't got long to go. But I don't want to start the Animam in B'Min Shleim, Shekol Divrei Nevim Emes. It's a new world. We were talking about Hashem, Bria Sa'ilam, Chiddush. Now suddenly all the words of the Nevi'im are true. You had a Havimina, they weren't. I mean, that's you have a Yetzer Hara in that area. I mean, there were people that did. They're called Christians. They messed around with the Divrei Nevi'im. But we have to understand what this is all about. And okay, there's Agdomas, and we have to get the sugya clear, and it's 2.5 pages. So I'm gonna stop here, because in 1 minute we're gonna start, and anyway we'll have to do it again next week. So let's stop here. Okay. Go get ready for Shabbos Kodesh. Now that we're learning about Shabbos in the Halacha Shir, we can start learning something else on the Friday morning. We have to always have a feast on Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi Sashkoch Godel.
Shkoya, have a great Shabbos.
Thank you. Shabbos. Take good care. All the best.
Love you as well.
You remember tomorrow we're saying Kiddush Levana. So if you're at the breakfast here, you'll remember there's work to be done at Kiddush Levana. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night of Shabbos.
Good night of Shabbos.